Good afternoon. Hi, Muskegon. It's time for Community Focus. I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts, and
my co-host, Melvin C. Burns II.
Welcome for this January 17th, 2024. We have to thank our sponsor, Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment. We want to thank you for sponsoring the show. So, Tanzania, with Visit Tanzania for Less. Please support the businesses that support you. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
How you back healthy this week? Yeah.
Back healthy, back in the studio, and so glad that I was blessed to get over the illness that I had. But we're back in the studio. Don't forget some housekeeping, that these shows repeat themselves. We're so glad that you're listening to us. But if you'd like to see the show, visit our social medias. These shows repeat themselves. And speaking of repeat themselves, how's the weather doing?
Well, today we have a low of 24, high of 39. Saturday, low 18, high of 38. Then things head down a little colder from there.
Cool.
Sunday, low of 7. That's right, 7. High of 18. Monday, low of 5. High of 8. Tuesday, low of 2. High of 9. And folks, keep in mind, those are temperatures. It's going to be a lot colder, so be careful out there. Wednesday, low of 6, high of 23. Thursday, low of 21, high of 26. Next Friday, low of 20, high of 25. And it goes without saying, it will be gray and cloudy.
Make sure that in these temperatures that we're having coming up, that you take care of somebody out there, because somebody might be in need and want to want. Make sure that we're looking at and saving our brothers.
Yes.
You never know who might be cold out there.
Yes.
So speaking of cold, a lot of stuff going on next week with bringing in the new president.
Bringing the new president, inauguration. They're moving it inside, I hear, because it's kind of cold in D.C. Mm. But,
it's literally cold.
47.
47
will be inaugurated.
All right. So that's what's happening on the international front. We are excited about our guest today, a first timer to the show. And we're so happy to have her on Community Focus. Would you put your hands together? Give us some intro on her.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show today, Mariah Manuel Berry. She is the founder and CEO of Knowledge Career Experts. This is a globally recognized speaker, trainer, and expert in the fields of organizational development.
Mm-hmm.
We're glad to have her come on and share her vast knowledge experience. And I do have to add, she holds an advanced degree from the Harvard of the Midwest, Oakland University, as well as Eastern Michigan University. I keep wanting to say Dr. Mariah Manuel Berry, welcome to the show.
We're going to get on here. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you for having me. I thought you were going to say the Harvard of the Midwest Cass Technical High School. You went to Cass.
Fellow Oakland alum, so you don't have to get that plug in for Oakland.
Okay. All right. Yes, absolutely.
Welcome to the show.
Yes, absolutely. I'm excited to be here. I'm more excited to know all of the amazing things you all are doing for the community. I have been looking online, looking at what you all have done. I've shared it within my network. Kudos to you all. Thank you for making this platform available, but thank you for the work that you all are doing.
Well, thank you so much. It's that, the thing that we try to do is bring and inform our listeners,
mm-hmm.
give them information that they need to get rid of the smoke and the mirrors and bring them the truth.
Absolutely.
So give us a little background about yourself before we go into some details.
Yes, absolutely. So, you've done a great introduction. Thank you for that. But yeah, I'm a native Detroiter, born and raised. I definitely have been fully endowed into the Detroit atmosphere. I mean, I live here. Me and my husband bought our first home here. I've been a member of Second Ebenezer Baptist Church, where my bishop is Bishop Edgar L. Vann, for I'm 37, so 37 years. He raised me and married me and baptized my daughter. So Yeah, I definitely am really, really passionate about the city and the work that we do within the city and the work that's happening here. But outside mm-hmm. of that, I'm a mother. I'm a pup mom. I'm a wife. A mompreneur is what I like to call, but an entrepreneur. So, of course, Knowledge Career Experts LLC is my baby, built off of such a remarkable look at the idea that you don't have to know everything, but you got to know some things. And I just feel like, unfortunately, I didn't get all of that out of school. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that I had to learn mm-hmm. were through mentorship, which is one of my pillars, were through just leadership development, having a lifelong learning mindset, really starting to tap into professional development, which is another. And then the one that kind of snuck up on me was diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. Okay. I don't know what happened, but somewhere in between high school and adult career and being in my industry for over a decade, I started to realize that diversity was important. And I don't just mean race. I don't just mean, you know, sex and gender. I mean the diversity that we see amongst individuals in their community, outside their community, the thoughts that we have, which I like to call diversity of thought. So yeah, so that's me. That's who I am. That's what my company does. We coach, lead, develop, train, grow individuals, specifically mid-career professionals, to be lifelong learners and to have the resources they need so that they can get ahead.
You find right now that people are trying to get that education and diversity. They're trying to run away from that. Mm-hmm. Talk to our listeners and people that are viewing the show. Why is it so important that people understand?
Absolutely. And I'll double down and say that I think one of the kind of misconceptions is what diversity is and what mm-hmm. that work is. And I intentionally say it's not just race, sex, age, gender. It's okay. deeper than that. I'll give you a personal example of mine that I think a lot of people can relate to if they know women in their family who went through this journey. I went through IVF recently. That's how I had my daughter. She's 9 months as of this week. So I'm very excited about that. But getting married, doing it the right way, right? Wanting mm-hmm. to start a family and then being on this path of what is wrong with me was scary, right? And unfortunately, in our communities, that's not something we talk about, right? And I'm going to be honest, I went through life thinking, well, of course, Black women could have babies, right? If anybody could have children, we're the ones, yeah. right? Uh-huh. Well, I didn't know there was something called PCOS, and I was diagnosed with it. Wow. And it wasn't until I went through that journey, even people in my family started to express, well, yeah, your great aunt from this generation, and you don't know these things. That's mm-hmm. a level of diversity. I have an entire community of individuals, and I'm not just talking about women, men who have supported their wives through this journey, mm-hmm. children who have, you know, now they've been conceived in a different way. That means something. That's mm-hmm. diversity, right? So I think a lot of people think, well, you know, diversity is, you know, white, Black, and middle class, upper class. It's way more than that. It's how you think. It's how you live. It's your story. It's what you wake up to every day, right? So, I mean, not to say, you know, anything is wrong with it, but I mean, being a bald-head man might be a diversity element.
Yeah, we can speak on that.
We're just too darn sexy.
Yeah, right. Y'all got y'all community, y'all people, right? So, but that's what it's all about. And I think once people start to realize it's not as scary, mm-hmm. right, as people mm-hmm. like to perceive it to be, and it brings us way closer together than it ever separates us, I think what you said, people will stop running away from it. People will stop not misunderstanding it to be something else or looking at it as a, I don't know, some way to bring each other down or one group down mm-hmm. and understand like, no, it's a way to bring us together because we're better together, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to get a doctor degree because I want to call you Dr. Barry for some reason. So I'm the president of a company. My job is to make money.
Yes.
And make money for my shareholders. Why mm-hmm. do I want, you know, that's the mindset. Why do I want to bother with this DEA? I just want people to come in and do their job and make money for us.
Yeah. And you know what? I recently joined two nonprofits, one as a full-time employee outside of my business, and also one as a board member.
Okay.
And I can tell you that I did that because of that mindset that you have. There were plenty of companies that I've been a part of, and money became the end all be all. Mm-hmm. And what you start to realize is that you can't make money without people.
Okay.
I don't, however you slice it, you need stakeholders, you need clients, you need, you know, the committed, you need the people who will stick around, stick it out. You need all of those individuals. And what I like to tell organizations is diversity allows you to keep those people, right? Okay. People don't want to do business with people who don't look like, you know, the community they're a part of. If I'm supporting an organization, I need to know that they're doing something to give back to Black women in mm-hmm. any capacity of what that means. And we'll start to see as time progresses, you know, I think the political atmosphere is going to shift us a lot to think, okay, we got to put our money where our mouth is, right? We got to right. start to do things a little bit differently if we want to see change. It's not good enough to just rah-rah, right? The rah-rah mm-hmm. didn't work this time. This time we have to actually put action behind it. So when I'm working with individuals like yourself who, yes, the bottom line has to be money, because I would be lying to you to tell you you can keep an organization around without money. But I would double down and say how you make that money is through people. And if your people aren't happy, they will leave your organization. I can attest to that.
Look, people got people cheering for you already. Pass the plate because you're preaching good. Listen, explain to people, and I love you said it's not a Black thing, it's not a white thing. It's explain to people that coal miner in Virginia and that person in the inner city, that if they understood that we have a lot more in common if mm-hmm. we concentrate and focus than the divide.
Yes, yeah. This is a global economy. And I tell people that all the time. Post-COVID, we're global now, meaning that I can be an entrepreneur sitting inside of my home, providing resources and tools, coaching individuals in Europe.
Wow.
At night. And then I can go to work at noon. You know, you understand what I'm saying. And I think mm-hmm. that's what every individual needs to understand. If you're not maximizing the global economy we're a part of, and it, I believe it starts with diversity, because I can't go to Europe with my Americanized mindset. Mm-hmm. I have to meet people where they are. And
please say that again. Please say that again.
You know, we like to think we are the best. And I would say I wouldn't want to be a part of any other country. I would be lying if I tell you I would. However, I do know that with working with individuals across the globe, outside of Michigan even, you have to meet people where they are, right? You have to understand their journey, what they went through, how they got there. And you can't do that without diversity, because mm-hmm. that's how we get connected. We get connected mother to mother, right? Worker to worker, right? We get connected to the human. I'll give you an example. When I'm doing a presentation, especially for a big, large group, usually the CEO, CFO, someone will bring me in. I always like to have individuals do this one activity for me where I'll say, you know, something like raise your hand if, right? And one that I'll use, and we can do it right now, raise your hand if you know someone who has been impacted by cancer. Anybody, raise your hand. We all just got connected just that quick.
Okay.
And once we start to deep dive, not I don't mean we need to cry and be sad, because it is a topic that can bring us some tender emotions. But when we start to do that and everybody's doing it, we start to realize, oh my goodness, it's not you're older than me, you're younger than me, you grew up somewhere else, I grew up somewhere else. We're all connected some way. And then we build from that. That's how you build a relationship. That's how you keep your network strong. That's how I make connections to grow my business.
So when the CEOs or they bring you in for your training, what does success look like for you when you're done with your time with the company?
I'm so glad you asked that. And this is where a lot of people, I'm different. I'm data driven. I am data driven at heart. Okay. I am going to ask you, what are your retention rates? What are your pulse scores? What is your engagement level? I need the numbers. Okay. I want to know revenue, right? So whereas a lot of other people may interpret diversity to be like this soft skill or light work, right? That anybody can. I'm digging in because my promise or ask to them is that if my work and my being there doesn't help these numbers, then I shouldn't be there. Everything should help the numbers, right? So, yes. But I think it's important for you to first know what those numbers are, mm-hmm. and then help those companies to make those connections. Okay. I'll give a great example. Unconscious bias training, which is one training that I do a very lot. Implicit bias is what people sometimes also call it. But to chunk it down, basically it's the mindset that we all have a level of bias, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. We all have, when we put in our mind, if I say a doctor, when you think of a doctor, how do they look? If you just had to think doctor, what do they look like? Asking you all.
Oh, actually, huh?
Yeah, I'm a trainer. Yeah.
Well, my doctor's a little different because I've been with my doctors for years and years, and I've stayed with the same organization. All been women.
Okay, woman. Okay. What about you? What do you think of doctor? What do you think of? Who you think
of? I just saw mine this morning, and he's a short Asian guy.
See, but you see what I'm saying? When we think of doctor, we already have our way of thinking about it. You went from the position of, this is my doctor, and this is who I've been with for years. You went with the position of, I just saw my doctor the other day. I'm going to go to the position of my sister-in-law. She's a doctor. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati Children's Hospital. That, when I think of doctor, I think of her because she's so mm-hmm. close to me, and that's who I see on a regular mm-hmm. basis. So you see how that mindset, that thought is already in us. I can't change that about you. And that's what implicit bias is. It says people have these things about them that cannot change. Now, how does it show up with the numbers when I get into these organizations? Is that if we don't identify all on the same page that we all have these biases, we can unfortunately use them poorly. Our hiring processes. Mm-hmm. You might start to hire people that only look like you, mm-hmm. unintentionally or intentionally, because you're not thinking, I got a bias. So when I'm hiring individuals, when I'm sitting in a leadership role, I know I need to think outside of what I believe success to look like. It may look like setting up panels, because if I get more diverse thoughts on a panel, then we're not all going to think the same way. We might all think differently. But you see how that impacts the bottom line, because if I think of an organization off the top of my head, they wanted to change the trajectory of their pool, their hiring pool, the people that were getting into their organizations. And I said, well, show me the numbers. And they said, well, you know, the reality is people outside of Caucasian men just do not apply for roles here. When I pulled those numbers, I saw over 100,000 people who were not Caucasian men applying. Mm. Mm. There was some implicit and unconscious bias at work. It wasn't intentional. It's just, this is how we've always done it. So you see how that becomes an issue. So when I'm sitting down with people, when I'm talking to them, I'm doing that deep dive. I'm making them think about things they haven't thought about before. But more importantly, I'm showing them, how can we tie this to your business outcomes? How can we make your organizations better afterwards?
With the businesses, or I work for a company, and one of the things that I said, until the CEO or the head of the company or the person mopped the floors understand that they have a common goal, that each person mm-hmm. plays a role, but it needs to be a common goal, that everyone is important for that diversity or that growth of that company. And too often we don't understand that.
Yeah. And I'll say they also need to feel valued and respected, right?
There you go.
My check shows me that I'm supposed to be here, right? You gave me a check. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm going to be here. Mm-hmm. But it's that conversation that I have when I'm having a bad day, or I'm not feeling great, or I am a little confused, or I am feeling a little, what is my leader going to say? Are they going to say, talk about my value and respect me? Or are they going to do something else? And I think that's that piece that we draw out, especially for our CEOs. I have worked with a lot of executives, And I say this so humbly, our executives, they need just as much as the person that's mopping the floor.
There you go. Think,
unfortunately, we put that almost God complex on them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I go in the building and I close the door and I say, tell me the truth. And I've had executives pour out their hearts, tears, not knowing why or what they're doing wrong and wanting to get better. But they got their own biases. They have their own way of doing things because they've always done it this way. Mm-hmm. And that takes time. And it takes someone to say to them, that's okay. We can get through that as long as you're open to it. Now, if you're stuck and you don't want to improve, we have another problem. But as long as they're open to it, what we find is organizations get better. People start to stay around a lot longer. And transparently, they make more money. They become a more productive organization after that. Because once your people are better, the communities that you are a part of are better. The communities that they go back to every single day, they take their family to, their schools, and they become better. Because I'm happier now.
Nice.
I always tell people, happy employees never leave. They just don't.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about some of the challenges that DEI is facing, you know, politically and, you know, some of the corporate. But what is one of the biggest misperceptions that people have when you say, oh, the DEI trainer's coming in?
Yeah, they think that we're about to come in and I don't know. I honestly don't know what the majority of people think, but I think some people think it's not for them. Is the best way I can put it.
Okay.
Like you're talking about somebody. I'm not a racist, right?
Some of my best friends. You know, Michael Jackson. I love his music.
I listened to this other day. You know, so it becomes that. But I think again, once you introduce them to the topic, bring those guard downs, meet them where they are. Because they're in their head, they're not. It's not anything wrong. And it may not be anything wrong with them. And that's not the focus, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to meet those people where they are. So once they get past that mindset shift, and that does not happen overnight, which is why I have a business. It takes time to do that. But once you get past that, then people become more open. You start to get people who become advocates. I call them champions. Because you'll start to hear them say things that they never said to people in their groups and start to change that atmosphere in that group and what it looks like.
We're down at the bottom of the hour here and we're running out of time, but I want to talk to you about our country is so divided.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that we can do to bring this back and understand that we are actually our one village or should be?
I do this, and my little sister, who is 6 years younger than me, she laughs at me. And I'll say it to everybody, share your diversity story. I think that we allow social media, the media in general, the world to tell us what's happening, right? All these things are going on, right? We've got the fires going on, and we've got the wars going on, and we've got all these things happening. What I think would really help is we start to share our reality. I know that it's not always well perceived, meaning that it might be a millennial thing. I'm the older side of millennials, right? And I have to tell myself I'm older too, because they will tell me. I'm the older side of millennial, which means that I'm kind of balancing in between that mindset of, well, you don't share all your business on social media, right? But I do feel like you do need to share some of your business. And I don't mean the horrible, bad parts. We got enough of that. I mean I just had a baby. I went through a PCOS journey and I had a child through IVF. I just got married, right? I mean, I'm on my way to church, right? So share that part because that's your story. That's who you are. And what I think that does is, it kind of dies down some of this negativity and craziness that we are always going to be surrounded by. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it puts you around people who are a part of your network. LinkedIn is a great example. I love LinkedIn because I get to see I just got a new job. I'm looking for a new job. I love to see people's success, and I love for people to promote it, and I love to celebrate them. So I think that's important, is that as we continue to journey down life, because it's not going to change, we need to share our stories. So platforms like this, what you all are doing now, that's why I give you kudos. You all are doing something that is going to highlight the positive side of our communities and less of the negative side. So thank you for that.
We thank you. So listen, how do people get in touch with you? We need that shameless plug right now, so people can get in touch with you and tell people where you're based out of.
Yeah, so I'm based out of the city of Detroit. However, I am global, which means I travel, I'm virtual, I can do anything, anywhere. But not only that, I am heavy, heavy, heavy on LinkedIn. That's why I promote it so well. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm available. It is my name, also the name of my company, Knowledge Career Experts, LLC, or Mariah Manuel-Berry. And I'm on Facebook. Those are my two big platforms, is that Facebook and also LinkedIn. So they can contact me in either one of those platforms, and I'm always available.
Okay. Just real quick, any trends you see there? I'm running out of time. Any trends you see that are maybe starting to take place, we ought to keep an eye on over the next 3-6 months, maybe?
Yeah, there's a lot. But one in particular, I would say, is with the hiring process.
Okay.
In the job market. People are really under the impression, in some industries, it's true that, you know, they can't find people. I'll give you an example with nursing. Our nurses look different than they did pre-COVID. They are not as, you know, years and years of experience. They're just now getting into the field. They're eager. They're hungry. They're interested in the work. Not to say that, you know, prior to that, we weren't. But because of that, that's going to shift the landscape for working altogether, for the job industry, for the job market. So I would say keep an eye out on how diversity is showing up in the job market. How do people look today versus how they looked in years past? And if you're a business owner, find out a way to maximize on it, because it's an opportunity to do. And I will also say, for my job seekers, do not give up. Please do not let people tell you there are no jobs available. There are plenty of jobs available. And if you need help with that journey, reach out to me on LinkedIn, and I will be more than happy to help you with that.
All right.
Mariah Berry, we have 1,000 questions, but we've run out of time. Will you please come back on the show?
Absolutely. This was so fun. I loved it. I love chit-chatting. Yeah, I'll come back. We'll play spades next time or something else. You know.
All right. I ain't mad at you. Maybe some dominoes. All right. Barry, thank you so much, and we'll see you next time on Community Focus. Thank you. All right. Wow.
Great guest.
Right. Good. Wonderful guest.
Yeah, a lot of energy, man. Just knowledgeable. You know, I like when she talked about what she does, not being soft, but data driven. You know, when they get CEOs, CFOs attention.
Yeah, she's passionate.
Yes.
Yeah, you know,
just good stuff.
Good stuff. So listen, one person I didn't even get to test, MJ Production, intro, fantastic job. I look forward to working with this young guy and developing the show. But listen, you're watching Community Focus with Gregory T. Roberts and Melvin Burns. And we're going to take a commercial break and head to our next guest. Welcome back to, I got used to that name, Community Focus with Pastor Burns and Gregory T. Roberts. You know, one of the things that we like to do is like to be on the cutting edge of health. We are on the cutting edge of health today with today's discussion. Introduce my brother.
Dr. Alexander Torn is a clinical cardiac electrophysiologist, EP cardiologist, for those who are using shorthand. He's at Trinity Health in West Michigan and Michigan Medicine's Frankl Cardiovascular Center. More importantly for our discussion today, as you said, Greg, he's at the cutting edge of some new technology with pacemakers that we want to discuss with him today. So as you like to say, would you join me in welcoming Dr. Torin?
Welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you wonderfully. Welcome to Community Focus.
Thanks so much for having me.
So give us a little bit about your background before we go to some very exciting news and cutting edge that you're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So my background, I grew up in Michigan. I grew up on the east side in the suburbs of Detroit. Did my schooling out there for a while before moving to the great city of Chicago, where I did my medical education. And I threw caution to the wind and moved back to Michigan right in time for the Lions to do as well as they're doing.
Some of us are cheering differently, but we won't go there.
I'm going for majority right now. joined the University of Michigan and the Cardiovascular Network out here in Grand Rapids, trying to build up their cardiac electrophysiology program and extend access to patients and really take care of the community. I've been here about not quite 2 years, about a year and a half. It's been a whirlwind, and I'm really excited to share some of that with you.
You have some exciting news, some cutting edge news that we want to talk about with the pacemaker.
Absolutely. So to give you a little bit of background, and for the listeners who may not have all the background that we might, a pacemaker is a device that me and my colleagues often implant, and these have been around for many decades, that take over the heart's own electrical system in patients who have slow heart rates. And so the heart has a normal pacemaker. It lives in the top of the heart, and it tells the heart to go. And there's a connection between the top and bottoms of the heart that make your heart beat. And so when you go to sleep, your heart slows down. And when a tiger jumps out at you, your heart speeds up, right? Okay. That's normal. And just like any other electrical system, the wires can get frayed or a little unhappy as we get older or as you develop other medical issues. Mm-hmm. And so in some people, the electrical system goes a little haywire, and either the top and bottom stop communicating properly, or the top just doesn't speed up like it's supposed to. And so a pacemaker is a device that can take over, deliver that electrical signal, and make the heart beat properly. And that really gives patients energy. And some people, it prevents them from passing out or getting really dizzy. And so it can be very important. For many, many years, the only way to do this was to put a wire or two wires through a blood vessel up in the upper chest, and they literally screw inside the heart muscle and hook up to a battery that sits up here near the shoulder, typically on the left side. And it's a minor surgery, and they work pretty well. And about 10, maybe a little bit more years ago, the first wireless or leadless pacemaker technology came out, which involves putting a small, almost capsule like structure that goes in through a large blood vessel in the groin and plugs right into the heart muscle without any hardware, no cutting, no surgery or anything like that.
Really?
But it was limited in that it was only able to function in one of the chambers. And so for many years, that was considered a backup device. The reason we care about any of this is that any kind of hardware in the body, knee replacements, you know, spine fusion, any kind of hardware can get infected. Anything in the blood vessels can form blood clots, can plug up those vessels and lead to swelling, particularly in patients who have risks for infection. So transplant patients, those who are on steroids or immunosuppression for inflammatory diseases, patients who have HIV, the list goes on. Or those on dialysis who have other things in their blood vessels, patients on chemotherapy who have ports, all those things can interact with those wires and can lead to problems long term. And so for a long time, there were no great options. The cutting edge piece, which is the AVEIR DR technology, was developed by Abbott relatively recently, joined the market just last year and has been more and more widespread, is the first of its kind that allows one of these wireless leadless devices to go in both the top and bottom of the heart. And okay. That number of advantages in terms of reproducing the heart's normal electrical system. Remember, I said it starts at the top and goes to the bottom. And so now these devices can communicate. We can place them through a blood vessel in the groin. It heals up very quickly. There's no restrictions afterwards. And they function very nicely with a significant reduction in risk. So there's a lot more.
What are some early signs, warning signs that a person might need a pacemaker?
So some of the early warning signs from a symptom standpoint often have to do with things that you might associate with low heart rate. So feeling fatigued, often with exertion. People may feel okay when they're watching TV, but when they go and walk up the stairs, they have a hard time doing it. Mm-hmm. Or if they have to go out and check the mail, they may feel very tired going on the way back. If they have a way to check their heart rate with a blood pressure machine or a finger oximeter, sometimes they'll see it, you know, and when they're sitting there, it might be 40 or 50 beats a minute. And when they walk around, it might only be 60 or 70, where in a normal person, it would go above 100, 110. Mm-hmm. So that may be a sign that there may not be enough electrical input into the heart to do what it needs to do. In other people, it may be sudden onset dizziness, or they pass out for unclear reasons. They may just be standing at the kitchen cooking, and the next thing they're on the floor. So there's a lot of different ways that this can rear its ugly head. And the utility of keeping track of symptoms, you know, seeing your doctor and talking about it can be very important. From a medical standpoint, a lot of times we can look at the electrocardiogram, the stickers that we put on the chest, and look at the electrical signals in the heart, which sometimes even at rest can give us signs that the electrical system is not normal.
Okay. So I believe this pacemaker is called the Aveir DR? Is that what it's called?
The best way I heard it, it's like a breath of fresh air, Aveir.
Okay. So is this something that's actually available? Is it something still in test phases? Or can I talk to my doctor and say, hey, I want a pacemaker, but I want this new 2024 model?
Yeah. So it was FDA approved and launched officially. I think their early release was sort of winter of last year.
Okay.
And of course requires physicians to get trained, to get some exposure, and of course some buy-in from the hospitals to be able to purchase the device. But it's FDA approved. It's out on the market. We officially have it in Muskegon and can use it. Our first implant was about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Went nice. Wonderfully.
And so This is ready to go.
Now, can a person who has a current pacemaker, I just sound like a car, but can they change out an old one for a new one?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a loaded question. It's a challenging one. So traditional devices, we talked about risks of infection and mm-hmm. scarring to the blood vessels. So if you already have one, if it's working, we adopt a if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of mentality.
Okay.
Because the risk of changing things out can be a problem. That being said, we've definitely had patients who their devices run into problems long term, mm-hmm. just like the brakes in your car. Sometimes these wires run into issues. And one of these leadless devices, we've used them as bailout in some cases where we didn't have other options. Okay. And so the answer to your question is yes and no.
Okay.
Sometimes. So it for sure can be an option in the right person.
Doctor, it's great just to be on the cutting edge of hearing this. But talk to some of our people that they can stay away from having a pacemaker. And what are some of those healthy choices that they can be doing so they don't need to go down that road?
Mm-hmm. A lot of these things are the same things that you probably hear over and over and over again. I think in general, things that are good for the heart, eating healthy, exercise, and I can't understate the importance of exercise, keeping weight trim, and things like that, which not only affect electrical properties, but keep your blood vessels nice and clean and keep the heart pumping nice and strong. The other piece of this is, and maybe more important for those who don't have heart problems, is to make sure that they still don't. And so preventative care, making sure that you see your doctor once a year, check your blood pressure, make sure you don't have or aren't developing diabetes or high cholesterol and all those things that go on to prevent problems down the road. Unfortunately, the electrical system in the heart is just like the electrical system in your car, and it sometimes decides to go even if you do everything right. And so sometimes these happen out of the blue and there's nothing you can do about it. But the general recommendations, just like we tell everybody and like everyone really knows, but it's always helpful to hear again. Stay active, eat healthy, move more, and get checked out to make sure that nothing new happens in the future.
I'm glad that you spoke about, you know, like working out and stuff like that. I just want to go here and then we'll get back on the heart. With shots like Mounjaro and all these new shots and weight loss shots, a lot of people are going that route, but they are missing the element or the, like, you need to continue to work out. How dangerous is it just to rely on the shot?
I think it's a little too soon to tell. There's clearly some benefit with weight loss itself, a lot of things that go along with that. There's clearly some improvement with diabetes, and there are some findings that suggest that it's promising for various types of heart issues, but the data is a little too soon to tell. Mm-hmm. But it's such a complex beast. You know, your body has so many different inputs. It seems like it is helpful, but it's just a piece of the puzzle. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you can make a nice cake and it could be really yummy, but if you don't put frosting on it, it's not as good as it could be. And so you can lose weight, but if you're not exercising, you're not really getting the all the benefit that you could be, and to the same effect doing all kind of all the other things. Now, nobody's perfect. I don't want our listeners to think that everyone does everything except them. And so we all do our best, and it's not all the time, and it's certainly not on your birthday, and it's certainly not on special events, but the goal is to each day to do a little better than you did the day before.
Nice.
Okay. So we know a person's goal should be, I can live as bad as I want and fall back on a pacemaker. But are there certain traits a person might have that might make them not a good candidate for either the traditional pacemaker or this new pacemaker?
Yeah, great question. So the things that make me lean one way or another have to do with some of these complications. So someone who's at risk for infection, either because they've had infections before, they've had heart surgery before, they have dialysis or other catheters before, make me more uncomfortable with a traditional pacemaker, with putting more hardware into the body that just increases the risk of infection. The second kind of person has to do with the use of those blood vessels. And if you put a wire in a blood vessel over time, it develops scar, and the wire itself gets stuck to the walls of the blood vessel. It can sometimes occlude the blood vessel, and that can lead to problems down the road. And so younger patients, I would think about being more inclined to use these wireless devices. It's certainly nicer, again, from a recovery standpoint. They can be implanted with protecting the blood vessels. And so if down the road they need something else 20, 30 years later, you know, those blood vessels are still available for us if we need them. The other advantage of these wireless devices is they're designed to be extracted. So when it's time to change the battery out, it's not leaving 20-year-old wires in there and attaching a new battery. We're actually, they're designed to be removed and then a new one is implanted. And so again, it's still preserving all the blood vessels and it's preserving, preventing some of those long-term complications.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have another question came to me. Can you explain, or is there a concern about random bruises on veins? If a person experiences that?
Can you elaborate on it? Do you mean like after they get an IV, or is it just all of
they
a sudden?
They just seem to kind of appear. They seem to randomly appear on their veins.
I think so. Bruises are more common than you might expect, and I think people periodically will bump into things even sort of without paying attention. Certainly, if patients are on blood thinners or aspirin, it's very easy for those kinds of bruises to appear. For anyone where it sort of happens more than might be expected, or if the bruises are large or multiple, kind of disproportionate to what one might, you know, accidentally bump into, then that may be something that's worth checking out.
Okay.
There's obviously all sorts of rare and unusual things that can make someone prone to bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the short answer is it can be normal, but it may not always be. So if there's any concern, I always support, you know, getting evaluated.
Okay.
Doctor, how important is it to be your own advocate when it comes down to, okay, you hear that you need a pacemaker and you go, well, I want to go this route. This seems, you know, this more technology is newer, that's invasive. How important is it to be that advocate pushing for that help? And not going on Wikipedia and diagnosing yourself.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there a little bit in that too much knowledge can be a dangerous thing sometimes. But I feel strongly that every patient is their own best advocate. And there's an old adage that says, you know, ask the patient, they'll tell you what's wrong. And so a lot of the decisions and discussions that I have with folks regarding any procedure has to do with what's our goal and what is it going to take to get there. And mm-hmm. so sometimes that goal may be to get the best and most functional device, you know, possible, which might be a traditional one. And sometimes the goal might be, well, I want to recover faster so I can go play with my grandkids. Mm-hmm. And so different scenarios might lend themselves to different options. And different people have different preferences. And so I think the most important thing is that people know their options. They know that this exists. They know that, you know, this is something that we can do. And it's something I'd like to talk about. And some people it'll be correct and some people it'll be the wrong choice, but it's a choice that I think is best made together. I think there's nothing wrong with doing your research and looking things up and coming in prepared. But it's equally important to have that discussion and go into any procedure knowing kind of what the goals are and what the risks are as well.
With that said, you know, okay, you're being your own advocate and you're sitting up there trying to figure this out. Doctor, what are some of the things that you also recommend for people that are out there considering that pacemaker? I know I've talked about first doing your research, but what are some other criteria or things that they need to consider? And the second or third question to that, what are the insurance companies saying about this new technology?
Oh, that's a difficult one. We'll start with your first question, but I think, again, reiterating the advantage of this technology, which is decreasing risk of infection, decreasing the risk of long-term complications in the blood vessels,
mm-hmm.
The ability to be removed, things like that all play into this consideration. And again, I think that one of the caveats I'll tell everybody, it's a new technology. It's not been out for a long time. And I think we're all collectively learning as more and more patients are getting implanted. And so there's that piece of things to consider is that every new technology comes with its own unique, you know, idiosyncrasies too. So we're all in it learning together. We know it's safe. We know it works, but there's little things that we're still finding out. So there's always that piece of it that I think I would consider and I would encourage everyone to consider as well. Again, when you make that decision tree. From an insurance standpoint, The manufacturer has done a really good job advocating for themselves, and they've come to an agreement with Medicare, and there is a specific procedure billing code that has been approved, I believe, for 2 years that helps kind of, I don't want to say rubber stamp, but helps streamline this through. And so for the most part, I think if we as physicians can justify the reason for it, again, infections, young patients, blood vessel issues, and so forth, they've been pretty good about the approval. But insurance is, as you know, a little bit variable. So I think that remains to be seen how that goes.
Dr. Turin, kind of go back to something you said. You know, it's a new technology. You talked about, you know, some new might you just, hey, let's drive it like a new car. Give people sort of some confidence in, even though this is new technology, we're thoroughly knowledgeable about it and well trained in how to do the implant this new pacemaker.
Yeah, absolutely. This version is new. The concept is not, and so the procedure itself is not all that different.
Okay.
There's nuances to each and every device, but I think it's largely very safe and very effective. I would say, in general, implanting one device takes about 40 minutes or so, 30 to 45 minutes. And if you end up doing the DR, which is two devices, probably about an hour. So doesn't take all that long. I'd say a lot of patients go home the same day.
Wow.
They typically get a stitch or a plug in the groin that heals up within a couple hours. We walk them around. If they're doing okay, that's about it. And most people can go back to walking and doing routine day-to-day things the same, you know, within a few hours. Obviously, older, sicker, that sort of thing may require a little bit longer recovery and recovery from anesthesia and things like that, but it's certainly not a days kind of long procedure or anything like that. When I say that there's some little idiosyncrasies that we still have to learn about, it's little bits within the technology that we're picking up, little tricks that people learn about making things better. Mm-hmm. And actually, even kind of crazy, but the devices themselves have little computers, and the software is constantly getting updated. They keep making better improvements and changes, and they can improve battery life and things like that as their technology improves as well. They're coming out with a system for remote checks as well. So currently it's only in person that we can evaluate the device, but very soon it's already in the pipeline. Very soon they'll be able to do it from home. So
wow.
That's a nice example of kind of how this continues to progress. And so not only is it new, but it's kind of ongoing, and it sort of reflects the beauty of the technology and the kind of the beauty of the day that we live in, which is kind of amazing.
Dr. We're about to end the show. Is there any information that we have left out that you feel that is very important, vital, that we need to get out?
Well, I think the important thing that I'd like to, you know, make clear, having been in this community for about a year, year and a half, I want to make sure that folks are comfortable. I think people get a little bit scared at times, especially when it comes to heart, and they convince themselves that things are okay when they're sometimes not. And so I want to make sure that there's a perception, and I hope that you can understand that we love to see you. You know, I come to work every day to take care of patients and to see people. And if I come in and see someone and they're worried and everything's great, I love giving that news too. I'm certainly not someone who wants to do things for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so it's not all bad news all the time. We like giving good news too. We like seeing people. We like taking care of them. That's why we're here. And that's why we have this great community, this cardiovascular network involving Muskegon and Grand Rapids and even the University of Michigan, kind of tying in to bring the absolute best care that we can between our various providers, our technology, and that sort of thing. We've been growing. We're trying to implement and improve access, and so patients can be seen sooner and easier and get a hold of us better and faster. And so I encourage, you know, everyone who has any questions, to not worry about coming by. You know, we're here for you.
Doctor, thank you so much. And I will definitely want to stay on top of this to keep our listeners and viewers informed. Would you come back in a couple of months and let us know how things are going?
I would love to. You guys have been wonderful.
All right, Doctor, take care, and thank you for being on Community Focus.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, take care.
All right. Man, so much news, man. Well,
if, I mean, you know, you got educated today, you know, from your health, your body, to corporate and corporate training. Man, I like this show.
I love it. From the diversity training yes. to...
Yeah.
I mean, we covered the gamut today.
Yeah.
I just want to go back and, again, thank our sponsors. I really want to thank MJ Production for that new intro, which is exciting. And I will, again, like I said, I really look forward to see what else this young man is going to be doing for this show. I want to thank Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment for your needs, Steve the Bishop. And you know what? People that think that taking a trip to Africa is expensive, you'd be surprised. Visit Tanzania for less. See them. Lastly, as we're getting ready to go out, we said our goal this year is to go out there and seek wisdom. And just don't be quick, like the doctor was saying, and talk about being your advocate. When it comes down to life, don't just believe what you see on the media.
Yes.
Lord, do your research, do your homework. And the last thing, when it came down to diversity, nobody knows your story but you. Mm. What happens if you tell people a little bit about your story? If you open up about your story, you might be helping somebody that's going through that, but afraid to talk about it. Anything else on that?
I'll echo that. Tell your story. Nobody can tell it like you.
All right. That's it for this week. You've been watching Community Focus with Gregory T. Roberts and Melvin Burns. We'll see you next week. Take care. Stay warm.